God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our gospel reading, as we hear the account of Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman. But before we get into our text, I just sort of want to use as an introduction a cliche, or at least a manner of speaking. How do you view your life? If you use the example of a glass of water that's at the halfway part, do you sit there and think that the glass is half full, taking a look at the fullness of life? Or do you consider the glass half empty, taking a look at the emptiness of life? And if I would just use that as an introduction to today's text, the answer is, what glass? Today's text, we understand a little bit, not that we have a glass of water, we don't even have that glass. Who cares about the water? We are sort of empty-handed. We have nothing and nothing at all. Strangely enough, these words don't come from Jesus. They actually come from the Samaritan woman. In our text, she says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" In one essence, that's our own lives here that are being reflected here. We have nothing at all. Nothing to draw water from. And if we're attempting to draw water from a well, it's not the right well at all. Let me put it this way. In today's world, us as human beings, we get distracted by many things. We are drawn and attracted to things that we think will kind of satisfy the emptiness of our hearts. Jesus makes us well aware that it is only the gift of God that satisfies the longingness for our souls. We, like the Samaritan woman, we may have a lot of different type of wells that we try to tap, so to speak. Waters that we like to boast of. That may be along the lines of money. It may be along the lines of success, possessions, ambitions, accomplishments, whatever we hang our hat on, so to speak. We have a lot of these things, but I have to ask you, do they truly satisfy? In our culture, in our way, in our custom, dealing with our human nature, we have to truly answer that by saying, no, they don't satisfy. We always want more. And if I would ask you, what do you want more of? You might say, well, thinking that you're in church, you want more grace, more love, more forgiveness from God. I'm going to say you're on the right track. But in our prayers, is that always the first thing that comes off our lips? Do we ever not think in the back of our mind, oh God, if I only had this, my life would be perfect. If I only had this, I could be content. If I only had that. Whatever we are naming, if it isn't the grace of God, becomes sort of like one of those empty wells for us in our life. And we do have a lot of those empty wells. The reason why, we have to face up to it. We have sinned. We have fallen short of God's glory. But God uses that state we are in for His purpose. Notice in our text for today, He does a little bit of a challenge to this woman who he's talking to. In verse 16, he says, go call your husband and come back. In one essence, Jesus is sort of pressing one of those cultural boundaries here. First of all, Jesus wasn't supposed to be talking to a Samaritan. A Samaritan is supposed to be one of those sort of not quite children of Abraham. Yes, they were sort of considered children of Abraham, but they fell away. So they were sort of the outcast of religious society. And a Jewish person would sort of be in the right place. And so the Samaritans would be out of place. So basically, there was that cultural concept. You just don't talk to Samaritans. The next cultural concept that was being broken is that Jesus, being a male, was talking with a female. It was very appropriate for Jesus to sit there and say, I can't continue any more in this discussion until your husband comes, so go call him. Notice her reaction. She basically says, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you know, you're right. You've actually had five, and the one that you are with now is not your husband. What you said is quite true. Her response is, sir, I see that you are a prophet. I just want to stop there at a moment. What would your response be? If all of a sudden, say, by the gift of God, your pastor here was now able to articulate every single one of your sins, and I started coming off my lips, what would your response be? Well, I don't know about you, but if someone started articulating every single one of my sins, I'd probably be right out the door. I'd probably be very afraid to have all my sins put out in the open. But notice what this woman's response was. She acknowledges he's a prophet. And even more later on in our text, she brags about this to the townspeople. Why? Because she has now gotten a glimpse of the true living water. And what is that true living water? The acceptance of God, the forgiveness of sins, God sitting there saying, I love you through Jesus Christ. And when that's the true love that comes from God, that true forgiveness, sins don't matter. The true grace of God is coming through. Yes, Jesus puts his finger on the sin as a cause of our thirst. He basically says, in one essence, it is because of our sins. We are grasping at things that don't satisfy the soul. Notice Jesus' reaction here. He names the sin, but doesn't shred her to pieces, but gives her that living water, shows her the grace and mercy that comes from God, continues that dialogue and discussion. What about us? In our own life, we've heard the gospel message. In our own life, we've been attracted to God's word through and also through the sacraments. Are we also hanging on to that gospel message, or do we quickly give it up for our own things in life, our own empty wells? Do we think we have it all, or do we think we're lacking and missing something? Hence the title of this message, Nothing to Draw With. As Christians, we are truly in the right place and right time if we understand we come before our Lord and Savior with nothing to draw with. We come before Him like this woman, full of sins, seeking His grace, seeking His mercy. If we are truly in that mode, then we're at the right place at the right time. But if we secretly think in the back of our mind that where I go to recoup my energy, where I go to be filled up with, is outside God's word and His sacraments, we're running the wrong direction. Let me explain this a little more. It's not in our text, it's right before our text. Our text comes from John chapter 4. If we just back up one chapter to John chapter 3, I want to use that as a comparison for right now. John chapter 3, very often we always think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. To whom was those words spoken to? John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 tell us it was to Nicodemus, who came to Jesus in the middle of the night. Why? He was going to ask Jesus some questions. And Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders. Being one of those religious leaders, he knew what Jesus was doing. They were keeping tabs on Him, and he wanted to go covertly because he had some interesting questions. Jesus shares with him the gospel message. Now, why is this important? For a particular reason. The religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew of God's word, but they didn't see their own sinfulness. They saw the sin of other people, but they didn't see the sins from within themselves. Now, what happens when you try to approach Jesus and you don't see the sinful nature of your own self? Jesus doesn't make a lot of sense. If Jesus is talking about the forgiveness of sins, the grace that comes from God, that love and acceptance, it doesn't make any sense unless if you are a sinner. Needless to say, in John chapter 3, Nicodemus is a little confused. A little bit later on in Scripture, it does say that Nicodemus slowly was getting the answer here. But right now in John chapter 3, he was still hanging on to that religious leader concept. Now let's compare this to the Samaritan, the religious outcast, the quote sinner, who now experiences God's grace. And what does she do? She understands it and she wants to tell other people about it. Why? She can see her sinfulness. She sees that her own wells in life are dried up, empty, and really weren't there at all. She came and tasted the living waters that come from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and she was excited. She saw her sins, but seeing the forgiveness of God that comes through Jesus Christ, she was still excited. How about us as Christians? We say we believe and trust in Jesus Christ. We say we want the forgiveness of sins. But how often do we get excited about that forgiveness of sins and want to share that with the world around us? What kind of message does come off our lips? Unfortunately, as Christians, we sometimes have the wrong message, the message that says, you know, I'm better than you are, referring to those sinners out there. Where the correct message should be that Jesus died for the forgiveness of sinners, like you and me. To give God's free grace and mercy and love and acceptance, that's the gospel message. To come before our Lord and saying, Lord, I have nothing to draw with. I need to be filled and be filled what you alone provide, not what the world tries to offer to me. That's the message our world needs to hear. To give up trying to dig your own wells and to find your own gold, but to trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's very challenging. The forgiveness of sins is also very challenging. It's not easy to forgive. We want to even hang on to other people's sins and make them pay for it. But when it comes to our own forgiveness, we want it freely, without any cost. I guess that's sometimes why, as Christians, we do struggle with the forgiveness of sins. And by the way, if I can just sort of interject, starting in March, we're beginning a new Bible study topic on Sunday mornings dealing with the forgiveness of sins. But let's get back to our text here. As we see Jesus freely talking with this woman, freely communicating, accepting her, loving her, offering the forgiveness of sins just by the relationship, we also see a little bit of a picture of what the church should also be doing. In the church, we also need to present God's Word in its purity. We also need to present the sacraments, Christ's body and blood, for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of our faith. We need to help fill up sinners with what they're lacking. The grace, forgiveness, love, and acceptance that comes from God. And it's then, when we are attached to God's Word, His gospel, His grace, then we worship, as verse 23 says, God in spirit and in truth. Not just for ritual, not just for the sake of my own personal glory, but for the sake of receiving God's grace and His mercy, His love, and His forgiveness. The church is not just a group of people. It's not just a building. The church ceases to exist when we forget about the gospel, the true gospel of the forgiveness of sins. No, the community of believers gathers around that true gospel. We know that gospel brings up the living waters for eternal life, as our scripture text for today suggests. It is that gospel that shows us our own emptiness, but shows us God's love and His grace filling that emptiness. Going back to my analogy with the glass, God gives us the glass, and then He overflows the glass. That is the gift that satisfies. So, what did you come here this morning with? Anything at all? I hope and pray, after this gospel reading, we realize that we came with nothing to draw with. It is our Lord and Savior who does it all, who forgives us, encourages us, loves us, and fills our empty souls. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.